Hallo.
Hallo.
Hi.
Dear, we have a new member today, Philip Adams. Welcome to
Hi,
this
Philipp.
group. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm a librarian at De Montfort University, which is in Leicester in the UK. We have the ERM package of Folio apps, but we don't have the e-resource app at present, but it's one that I'm investigating.
Interesting. Okay. So, and you heard from this group, via Folio community or from other ones?
I must have seen it on the Slack channel as one that was available, so I'd probably signed up to
Okay.
that and seen some of the discussions, and particularly what the next meeting was and what it would cover.
Yeah. In this group, we discuss topics around usage, but if you have other questions about the handling of the app, it's also welcome in this group. And Bernd is our specialist for CUP. And if you have questions about this, I think it's okay, Bernd, when I say it, then you can we can talk about this with you.
You mean questions about counter code of practice? Yes, of course.
So then I start to share my screen with the agenda for today. That's the right one. So, okay. So Philip, you can add your name to the table focus of work in on this page here from the ERM SIG. It's an overview about the subgroups and from ERM and their members. Yeah, and it is more an overview where the members can see who is from which institution and what is the focus of work of this person. Yeah. And for our group, I can use the label usage. So I have some points for your information. We talked in the last year about this implemented topic, multiple harvester accounts per provider. And our conclusion was that we no longer need this feature, and so it will not be implemented in the future. So the tickets are closed now. Yeah, Bernd.
Yeah, I thought this was a requirement from some libraries. So
Yeah.
have they found another solution, or are they do they agree that it's fine to have multiple providers when they can see maybe the counter release in the list?
Yeah, I talked with the subject matter experts from the libraries and they found another solution and they are fine with the solution that they create a provider for each release from counter. So, and that was also the meaning of this group here. So I think, and so I closed the issues in Jira. So, and it will.
Yeah, that will help to save a lot of work because this would have required significant changes in the user interface.
Yes. Okay. But if you want, you can reconfigure the harvester configuration in your record of the usage data provider, and then you can harvest different counter releases, but you need the time period. But there is also another solution. If you're unsure about the time period, you can also use an time period from starting point that is outside of the release from 5.1, for example, and then you only get the counter reports from the provider if they are available. And if it's not available, you can get the reports are marked with an exclamation mark in usage. So, okay. Then I updated the roadmap because we had some releases in their list from Remsen, Sunflower, and so on. And we don't need this information anymore on this page. So, and I moved all the release notes from this page to the product description from usage. And there is an section release notes where you have a list of all features that are implemented in the releases. And this is the same information that you can find on the official release notes from the Folio pages for all features from the Folio release notes. So, okay, so let's take a look here to the updated roadmap. So let's start with Umbrella Leaf because in Trillium release is in March, I think. So, and we will only implement platform issues at this point. So, and the next features will come with Umbrella Leaf. So,
Regarding this, not implementing the multiple versions in a single usage data provider, will the release be listed on the list of usage data providers? Because if I remember correctly, it's currently not. And this was something I suggested as an alternative. I couldn't find a ticket for that.
So let's see. I'm not sure if it's implemented. So I think we have a solution for this. But I'm not entirely sure if it's the issue that you mean. So. So usage. So we added this column here. So to have an overview, what is an to see which report releases you have. So, what you mean, burned, or is it another issue?
No, what I meant is the list of usage data providers, where you now have, at the moment you have the release in the provider name, and the question was whether there would be a column with the actual value from the configuration.
Okay. Yeah, we have an information here in the filter list about re report releases. So where you can filter out the providers for which release you have. So maybe for four, you can see only this provider. So we can add a column here. So, but it can only be a list of the versions that the provider have. So.
Yeah, that was my question. Of course, I can live with putting the release into the provider name and filtering. That's fine for with me. But the question was whether it would be helpful to have that in the table, actually, so you could use essentially the same name. Oh, I'm not sure if that's possible, if you can have two usage data providers with the same name and different releases, and they would show up in the table. So,
Okay, yeah. Okay, then I think I can create an issue for that and we can add this to this list here.
it's not really that pressing, but I thought that might be a good alternative if you don't want to put the information in the name. And if you update something, you always have to think about also updating the name. So it might be helpful to have the actual configured value instead of putting that into the name.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
So, okay, of course, we would like to work on this feature in Umbrella Leaf to improve the handling of the counter exceptions, and it's an ongoing topic in this group here, and today we have also a topic for this. And another feature will be an integration of a provider list as a lookup. When you create or adding a provider, you can set up different fields here in this form, but we would like to integrate here an lookup function, and then you get a search form for providers, and you can select a provider. And if you do this, all fields are filled in automatically, and you only have to create this, and if there is something wrong, you can editing after this process the record, and it is just an improvement that you don't have too much to do at this point. But the information will come from the counter matrix website. So we have an API endpoint for this in here, I think. Yeah, that's the lookup button. And this is the search form. And let's see where we have this the endpoint is in the settings. Yeah. So let's see. Okay. Yeah, that's the setting. And here you can see you can add sources for the provider list. And now we have only one service for this from counter matrix. But if there are other sources later, we can add these sources here. It's more another approach to add this list. Of course, we can also add feature where the list is implemented hard-coded, but if you have other lists from another API endpoint, then you can also add this list here. So, and that is what we would like to do. So, and if you have some thoughts on this, then we can also talk about this. So Bernd, I see you have some
Yeah,
questions.
I'm wondering because this is a specific API for the counter registry. You could run a local version of that, but that's not very likely. So I'm wondering if there's any other API that could provide this information. Or do you think about aggregators that also should implement this to get the information about the platforms on there? And this is something I've thought about, that we maybe could use the same format as the registry, but that would be a small subset of the information the registry provides.
Yeah, that's is the idea. So at first we can only implement the function for counter registry, but if there are endpoints from the aggregators, then we can also add these ones.
Yeah, but they wouldn't use the same API response format. So they probably would have a different JSON.
So
Okay. If that's possible, that's fine. Okay.
it's always hard coded for each service, and the approach is that we download the informations from the service and store this in a database inside from Folio, and you have the possibility to harvest this information in an interval that you can set up in the settings from usage. So yeah, I think that's the best solution. On the fly, as you cannot get the information from the service on the fly. So
Well,
it
actually, the idea was that you can do that with the registry. Other tools like the counter validator also do that. But yeah, I agree. If you have hundreds of clients on that service, that might be at some point a performance issue.
Yeah, performance issue, and at another point you are blocked from the service. So if you 100 of clients and all clients want to use the data from one provider, from one service point, then your IP is blocked on some point.
Not for the registry. That will not happen.
Okay, interesting.
Because no, I know who runs that service, so I know they won't use anything like Cloudflare or the AWS firewall or something like that to block access to the endpoint.
Yeah, and I think an update one a day or in 1 week is okay, and it's just a tool that helps you to set up providers, and if you see there is something wrong, you can also editing the information.
So the second part you need when you set up a new provider, first of all, of course, you need the basic information like the counter API URL, the base URL. You also need the information about the provided reports, which might not be that reliable in the registry, and the periods for which you want to or would be able to harvest these reports. And you don't get that from the registry. You only get that from the provider itself with the reports endpoint. So I assume, have you considered also integrating that?
It's just the first draft here for the community. And we have to see which information we can get from the counter registry and which ones we can integrate in the form here.
The interesting information in counter release 5.1, the reports endpoint also has a the first month available and last month available, which would allow to set up the reports, including the periods that can be harvested. So
Okay.
that might be interesting, because otherwise you have to look that up yourself. And yeah, the easiest way to get that information actually is the Counter API. And you only have to do that, of course, for one provider. When the provider is set up, you don't have to do that for all of them. You, of course, you need the credentials for the provider to get that information.
Yeah, that are other features that we plan to do to validate the credentials and also the report types that you can get from a provider. So
So the general process would be you would select one provider from the list. You get the basic information like the counter base URL. Then you would enter the credentials, and with the credentials you could check them that they work, and you could also look up the information about the availability of the reports and populate those by default, which would make the configuration much more straightforward.
that's the plan. Yeah.
Yeah, great.
So, and the status is in refinement because we have to look at the back end, what is possible with our back end developer, and we also have to discuss this feature here in this group. So that's the reason why this status of the issues are in refinement and not draft. So, yeah. So you're not wondering about the status. So in refinement means that our developers also working on these issues. So. Other features that we plan, connection test for the selected report types, yeah, and also the connection test for the harvester account. So that's what we said at the point with the provider list that we plan to redesign the selection of the report types. So it's we saw that some users are not sure which report types they can harvest from a provider. So we plan to create this feature. I'm not sure if it's available in Umbrella Leaf, but we plan this for Umbrella Leaf. So, and after you set up the credentials for a provider, then we plan that usage can check which report types a provider can deliver. And after that, you have in the selection list only the report types that the provider can give you. So it's not trivial, I think. So, and we have to check how well this works. And I hope you can find a way where you can test it outside of Snapshot. So, but I have to talk with our system administrator so that some of you can get an access to a test system to try out this feature. So, but I have to talk with him. So.
So when I deploy a local Eureka test system, like I just did, this is, I assume, the latest version with all the features. Because it should be what is in Snapshot.
That's right. So we need a way to give you the chance to test this feature on an extra platform, so outside of Snapshot, so to make sure that this is a feature that works because what I saw some providers using this standard, some are not. So, and we should make sure that it works this. So, and if it not work, then yeah, it was a nice try. So.
Yeah, it should work unless the report provider is not counter compliant, or for some reason the auditor forgot to test that endpoint. I recently the auditors have started to do much better testing on these endpoints, so I assume the report providers will have to fix their issues with the responses. There is also some clarification need because for the reports endpoint, you can currently return different releases in the same response, which is really confusing. I'm not sure if we can clean that up in the next release of the Counter Code of Practice, but I will put it on the list for the required clarification so that when you ask for 5.1, you only get 5.1. I think that makes sense. Currently, it can happen that you also get the reports for release 5 mixed with 5.1, or just 5. But of course, that's an error. But yeah.
Yeah, it remembers me of the request via Slack from
What I could do is actually do a large scale test and see which of the report providers actually provide a correct reports endpoint response. And I can also trigger them to fix their issues. So I think you can rely on the response, but there will be some where the response is broken, of course, but then it will simply not work for them. And you would have to provide the information by hand.
Yeah. But I think we start with this feature in the summer, so we have time. So if you give this to the counter round, then it's okay.
Yeah, the next release will be. It's a 5.1.1. It's a feature release, and we have to incorporate the results from the currently still open consultations. So that will take some months until there's a new counter. It will be backward compatible. By the way, the requested change for the ISBN format will not happen. So there will be no change for the ISBN format.
That's great. That's great. It's also important for to hear. Do you know what's about Julia and Linda? Or Bernd, can you say more about this again for
Yeah,
Julia and Linda?
some report providers have requested a change of the ISBN format. They wanted to be able to deliver ISBNs without hyphens, but the current requirement is ISBN 13 with hyphens, and they wanted to do it without. That would have been backward compatible on the report provider side, but not on the report consumer side. So Folio, for example, currently cannot import reports that have ISBNs without hyphens. And there was at least one report providers who already had removed the hyphens. They now have to put them back in. And for them, actually, the import failed in Folio. So when they have reverted that change, it should work again.
Yeah,
But
that's
that
it.
was, yeah, that was the decision from the counter executive committee, which had to rule on that because the advisory committee and the code team disagreed on whether this could be done. And they've looked at the backward compatibility and have said no. that cannot be done. That probably will happen in 5.2, but that's not before 2030.
And it's a really important point for usage reports, because usage reports is using a matching process with the local knowledge base, and the matching process need the ISBN, and if there are no hives, then there are no matching.
Yeah, actually, the matching should remove the hyphens, but for it's much more stable if you remove the hyphens. But the question was rather in this case, since Folio uses the API specification to generate the parser code, that's the actually the issue, and this would have required a new API specification and rolling out patches for Folio, which now is not necessary. And matching is a different issue. If you match ISBNs, you should remove the hyphens.
That's done. It checks both with hyphens and without.
Yeah, but it would be better actually to check without hyphens because you might have two different versions of the same ISBN with different hyphen positions, and then the matching will fail. So it would be better for matching actually to match without hyphens. This is what we do on the on National Statistics Server platform. We always remove the hyphens for matching.
It's kind of normalization, or
Yeah, because you might get the wrong hyphens. That was one of the issues. That was one of the questions why this whole change was discussed in for Counter, because librarians often remove the hyphens. The report providers don't want to put them in, or they have get the information with wrong hyphens and would have to fix it. And so, but the decision was no, we cannot change the format now because it's not backward compatible. And but for matching, it's always better to use a normalized version, and the normalized version both for an ISSN and ISBN would be without hyphens. And for the ISSN, of course, you have to just decide whether you want to uppercase or lowercase X, if the checksum is an X. So this is what you normally should do for matching.
yeah, we have our first meeting in February with index data, and I think there are some overlaps between usage and usage reports, and index data will check up where is the edge between usage and usage reports, and they will start, I think, now with the plugin development. I'm not, yeah, Linda, yeah, it's they started.
Yes, they started.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what's really important is that you have the proprietary's identifier in mind when doing all this. Because, for example, if you have a KBOT list with the proprietary identifier of the report provider, the same proprietary identifier now usually shows up in the report. And this is much better for matching actually than using ISSNs or ISBNs. And what we have in mind is actually to put on our platform to actually do the matching there with the GoCaBe and include the GoCaBe UUID as identifier in the reports. And this would really help the matching in Folio when you use the GoCaBe as knowledge base, because you would have the matching identifiers. So, but you have to keep that in mind on both sides. The e-usage app has to actually parse the identifiers and keep them, and then the matching code would have to look at the proprietary and identifiers and decide what to do with them.
Okay. Let's see other features. Yeah, the secret manager integration, status open, and if our backend developer has time, then he will start with this point. We move this feature from sprint to sprint because there is no time yet, but if he has time, then he will start with this feature here, this one. Yeah, and the other points we discussed in the last meetings, and for today, I add this point again to the agenda. 1.5 year later, again. The question, can we remove the harvester function for counter four? I think it's the right time for this, or is there another meaning?
I would remove it. If you can still upload the files, that's fine. It makes the interface for the configuration, I think, much cleaner if you remove the counter four stuff. There might be still a few report providers that actually allow to harvest counter four reports. But you probably would only be interested in those which don't provide count of five reports, and then their implementation is outdated for 6, 7 years now. So there shouldn't be that many report providers left where you can only harvest count of four reports. And if you really need that information, that should be just a few where you could then upload the files. I think that's would be a reasonable approach and simply remove it. We haven't actually harvested on our platform counter four reports since the end of 24, and nobody has complained about that. The only one that we still harvested in 24 was Viso, because they haven't implemented the counter five master reports. But we've stopped with that now at the end of 2024. And just said we will not no longer harvest counter four reports. You cannot compare them with really with anything now. And so I think it's not that important anymore.
Okay. Yeah, and we can also remove the selection in the section for the report types. Choose between the report releases because you already selected here in the service type the counter release. So we can remove the selection here, and then you only have to add the report type that you want. And
Yeah, this double selection was quite confusing in some cases. So see the recent request where you could select counter 5.1 in one of them and but not in the other. That's much cleaner if you have just a single selection for that.
Okay, then I can give this to our backend developers to take a look on this, and then we can set the status to open after we talk about this in our development team, and maybe they can start with this feature. Feature.
Yeah,
So.
maybe you should put that information that you plan to do this into one of the Slack channels, the
Yeah.
relevant ones, and see if anybody disagrees or if we could discuss with them. Because even if nobody here disagrees, that there might be other for the users that actually use that feature still.
But I think that's the best sequence in the development to start with this function for count of four before we start to redesign the harvester with COP error codes. And so but that's a really important sentence here. So if you want to use count of four, you can still upload this with the manual for upload form. And the functionality is there in usage to use count of four, but you cannot harvest the harvester after this update. So I think that's it's a good option for all that need to use counter four at this point. So and we remove counter four from the harvester function. Okay, so we have 20 minutes for the next point. So
Yeah,
yeah, Bernd.
the upload supports both formats, tabular and XML, or just one of them?
Good question. At the moment, you can use.
Yeah, I have to admit, I've never tried the counter four part.
Yeah, it, XML and CSV. So.
Okay.
So. So, are there any questions about the roadmap? Okay. Improve handling of counter API exceptions. We have three tickets discussed, and they are blocked because we have to start with the modification of the harvester in the backend module, and it's now in a refinement. I talked with our backend developer about this, but our backend developer has to work on another project in our institution, and so that means that there may be a little delay with the development, but not too many. So. But usage will still be maintained by him. So, but we have to share the resource of him with another project. So, and we have to look how much time he has to work on the counter API exception handling. So, but what we can do is discuss the different COP codes. Error codes and what usage have to do with them. And for today, we can talk or start to talk about the authentication errors, the COP codes starting with two. And let's take a look on our list. It means all these codes here. And we have a group for this. So I think Bernd, was it that you grouped this together? Is that right?
Yeah, I think it made sense because these are different issues where different information is wrong. The only outlier is this global report's not supported. That's actually something that I wouldn't include in that group. That might you could group that with the 3000 code, report not supported. It's a bit different. I would have to look it up if what the I don't know what the actual HTTP code is. That's it should be the same to group it together. Let me just check that. I'm not sure why this has a 2000 code. In my opinion, it should have. Yeah, actually, it has a 403 HTTP code. That's. Yeah, okay. Now I remember, because the problem is that the custom ID is not supported. It needs a specific custom ID for global reports. And because that is not supported, it's one of the authentication failures. So it actually makes sense to have it there. It will only happen if you actually use a different custom ID, and that's 16 times zero to request global reports. So that's similar to one of the. Yeah, actually, there's no specific code for the custom ID that's not supported. That would trigger a 1030, probably. That's
I have.
insufficient information to process request.
I have a meeting in this week with the product owner of the Open Access app. So I can discuss this point with him if there are plans to use global reports. And
Yeah, it's actually the there might be a few report providers which will provide global title reports or something like that. Most likely you only get the item report. And that's not required, so you have to rely on report providers actually supporting that feature. And this is why we have this exception, of course. Because it's not required, it can be the request for a global report can be denied with this exception.
Yeah, and at this point we can only configure our backend that it's not supported. But if there are plans to use global reports in usage, then it is another feature for usage.
Well, you could disagree because it's the harvester. That's the information. So, but the problem is that you still would have probably your own reports for that report provider, and then you would have the global reports for that report provider. So you could have two different item reports for the same report provider. And you somehow would have to distinguish them by creating two usage data providers and having different configurations for them.
And the next step is in consortia support for the global reports. So and
No, 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 no,
that
no,
that
no. There is no consortia report for global reports.
no, for usage. If you would like to use global reports in usage, you need a consortia solution
No,
because
no, no. That's complete separate. There is no global consortia report in that sense, because you can't break it down. You can have a consortium report. That's an extension. Then you get a report broken down by institution.
What I mentioned is that if you need global reports in usage, then we have to implement an consortia support for usage because
No.
you need the global report for different tenants.
Well, if you just want to harvest it once in the main tenant for the consortium, and once you get that same information in all the tenants that are in the consortium, then yes. But you could also harvest them in each tenant separately. Actually, you would use your own requester ID to or API key to get the report. You don't have a consortium requester ID or API key, so I wouldn't really think about anything like consortium support for global reports. I would simply harvest them in a single tenant. You could do that today. You just have to provide provide another customer ID together with your usual request ID or API key. So it would work. You only could get this exception that you are currently not able to handle, or just in a standard way. You probably could handle it.
But it's another point. If you would like to support global reports and usage, then we have to create another feature later, not in Umbrella Leaf. I think
Well,
Woodland
no,
Star. So
it already will work.
yeah,
Because it's a standard report, just the scope of the report is different. You can harvest item reports, so you can also harvest global item reports. It will work without changing anything in Folio. The question then becomes, if you want to use that information in the Open Access app, then you have to know which of the report providers you should use for that. You somehow have to link them together with the Open Access app. But harvesting them and looking at the reports and actually evaluating them would already work. What you probably want to do is you want to get the usage for your the articles that you have financed, that you have in the Open Access app. You want to get the to match the usage with those articles. But that's a different issue. This is nothing that you do in the e-usage app. This is also for the agreements. It's in the plugin. It's not in the app. So you would need a different plugin probably to get the information out of the e-usage app into the Open Access app.
Then
You
it.
can, oh, yes, but you can handle them in the same way. And the
So that means if it's
Yeah, an automatic retry does not make much sense unless you fix the information.
So So, okay, we try count also no. We have to find a solution for what's happened when the authentication fails. So the idea is that the harvester don't retry to harvest all the reports. So you can only get information to each provider that is something wrong with your configuration, and you can filter out on a filter on the left side where you have problems with the authentication. And so with this approach, you cannot get thousands of failed reports in your database. That is what I saw in reports in our system. It works very well for some time, and at one point they change the credentials from the provider, and then we have a peak in the statistic with thousands of failures. Because the usage app tries to harvest the reports with wrong credentials. So And the plan is that they harvest the steps if the credentials are wrong. And then you get the information that you have to reconfigure the harvester, and you filter out this via the search filters on the left side.
So you would stop harvesting reports once you encounter such an error.
Yes,
Okay.
with the COP error codes.
Yeah, so you wouldn't try all the other ones and simply stop and then you could fix it and would you the user have to actually restart the harvesting manually, or would that happen automatically?
Yeah, that we can discuss. So,
Yeah, I think you need the option to do this manually, because there might be an issue on the report provider side where for some reason the credentials don't work and then they fix it and it work they work again. You don't have to do anything on the Folio side actually to make them work again. And in that case probably you could simply delete the failed reports, would that reset the status?
But this, if you delete all the failed reports after that, that's it could be many of them. So I saw in some systems more than 4,000 failed reports because they don't saw this that the credentials are wrong. So and
4,000 reports
yes.
across multiple report providers, probably.
Yes.
So that might have been at the end of 2024 when Scholarly IQ required new credentials for all providers on their platform. This is the only case I can think about where multiple report providers simultaneously required new credentials.
Yeah, but it can also happen if they are changed something on their side. So that is the idea. So if you see other approaches, then we can talk about this.
No, I think stopping once you encounter one of these errors and stopping to harvest more reports where you would get the same error makes perfectly sense. The only question I have is how do you get out of this situation once this has been fixed? So there's either a fix on the Folio side. You can see something has changed. You could simply retry then. But you might get out of this situation without a change on the Folio side when the report provider simply had made an error and had closed, for example, a customer account and then reopens that account. We had several cases where that happened. And then they simply started working again, the credentials, and then you need some way to actually start harvesting again. That's the important point.
Here, one point is manually start harvest on.
What would happen to the reports that are in the failed state if you do that? Would they automatically be retried then, or how would that be handled?
Yeah, that is what we need to discuss. So we can implement any solution that we need. So let's summarize this. So, okay, one option is manually start the harvester again. And option two can be, yeah, have an action in usage here at the provider list?
That's manually starting again, or
Okay, we have to specify it.
the question how that would be done, if that's in the menu or somewhere else. The other option would be to actually retry when the data has changed. When the credentials have changed, yeah. Yeah, that would be the easiest solution, I think. You can simply go in and fix the credentials, and then would start automatically to get the missing reports and fix the errors.
So, word creation, so how to retry function. it could be a good solution. Option two. So if there is an information that the credentials are wrong and you change the credentials, then the harvester can start again to harvest the
Yeah.
reports. And if there is an failure again, then the harvester stops,
Yeah, but
and you have a loop.
yeah, I think the interesting part is that you actually want to verify the credentials in the configuration, so you would know whether they work or not if they are changed. The question is if you would allow to actually save credentials that don't work. But you would know whether they work or not, and you could just start the or retry if they actually work.
Yeah, it could be a combination of these of the other feature that we plan. So plus to shang
Actually, you might not need the manual retry if you can simply go into the report provider, and if you s try to save it, it would check if the credentials work. It would know they work now, and they could sim it could sim simply then start harvesting again. So that also could be an option, or a way the first option could be implemented. Actually, by going into the report provider and retrying the credentials.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be a bit careful about this, trying the credentials, because if you have a report provider that's actually not HIPAA compliant, it might not have properly implemented the non-report endpoints. So you might need an option to actually try a report if the other ones don't work. This is what we've implemented actually in our Netstat platform. We try members if that works, because it gives the most interesting information. If that doesn't work, we try reports, and if that doesn't work, we try a PRP1 report to simply check if the credentials work.
Okay, it works. Yeah, but I think it's a good solution. Julia and Linda, what do you think? It's a good idea. Okay, so it's only for authentication errors, so. And But I heard from the SMEs from our department for e-media is that they don't check auth providers every day. So, and you have they get not notice if there is something wrong. So, and so they get so much errors in the system from usage. So, and if we stop the harvesting before they try it again to harvest the reports, then I think it's the best solution. And then they can filter out what was wrong, and then they can change the credentials, and then the harvester starts again.
Yeah, but the question is still, how do you see that something has gone wrong? What's the easiest way to get an overview?
I think in filter on the left side, then or a column here.
Okay, has the has failed reports. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, has failed reports or an additional filter has from credentials or something else. Yeah, let me think about this and then I show you the final status of the issue in the next meeting. And if we have a conclusion about this, then I give this to our developers, and then we can do this
Yeah,
in the next releases.
the question is this something for Umbrella Leaf or for the next version then?
I think we can start to implement the redesign of the harvester, and the prioritization should be on the authentication errors. And maybe it could be an umbrella leaf. So.
Yeah, because that solution we've discussed only makes sense when you have this redesign of the configuration.
Yes.
And I think that's is that on the list for Umbrella Leaf?
Yeah, here.
Oh yeah, okay, I see. That's the
And that's the reason why all the other ones are blocked.
Yeah, okay.
But our backend developer is working on the implementation. But it's more a design question. Not a question of coding. It's difficult to design all these things.
Yeah, do you need some further input from me about the general approach of handling errors? This workflow gives.
It could help. We have an overview.
Yeah, no, I know. The
Yeah,
question is there anything where you actually need additional feedback from me? The main issue you mentioned was that loop that could occur. I think we've already resolved that one. And I have some trouble distinguishing between the different error types because I'm most focused on the count exception that happened. There are all other kinds of things that can go wrong, like you don't get a report, you get just an HTML page, things like that. And yeah.
Yeah, I think the best way is if we have some questions after the discussion in our development team, I give you a summarize of all questions that we have, and
Yeah.
then we can talk about this
Yeah,
better.
if y I, if that would be helpful, I also could join a discussion with the team.
Yeah, this it's It's not the best way to talk about this via Slack. So, and we should summarize all the questions, and then if it's necessary, we can make a meeting about the questions. And I think that's the best way. So, and if I'm not wrong, that then we have only to discuss the exception codes with starting with one in the next meetings. These ones here. And then we are finished with this list. Oh, yes. And the 3000 we discussed in the past. And this is the same. Ah, yeah, we handle this in the back end, these things here, because we checked the entries from the UI, so that should not be happened in usage, that you have missing report filters. Oops, invalid report attribute values and so on. So, I don't think we need to discuss this here in this group.
Yeah, actually, we had one report provider that included a 3050 exceptions in all reports. That was an interesting one. They had an int some internal implementation detail where they somehow computed a parameter and that failed, and then you would get the 3050 exception, but that has been fixed now. So this can happen. These exceptions can happen even if you don't expect them. And I always would treat that as an error, that something has gone wrong. Because if you really do a valid request and you get one of these responses, then something is on the provider side.
So, okay, then that's our plan for the next meeting. And I give you an update for these ones here in the next meeting. And yeah, when we should meet again. Let's see. Calendar. And I would say we should meet again on March the 2nd. Yeah.
Yeah,
Is it
would
okay?
work for me. February 23rd, I have a counter-COTI meeting, so that wouldn't be possible for me. But March 2nd would be fine.
Okay. Then.
I hope that works for everybody else.
Yes, it's okay.
And I'm not sure, Julia and Linda, do you want to give updates about usage reports in the next meeting?
Plugin.
Yes, a plugin. I think we discuss it and we
Yes.
check with Melanie, who's not present today, but we check it.
Okay. All right. Then we see you in March again, or via Slack. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.